This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run 7:35 right now. I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng and Ku Su Chuang. Now, in the business headlines today, we have Tesla. Tesla has won a vote of confidence from the Chinese internet giant Tencent Holdings, according to commentators. This is because, according to a regulatory filing, Tencent bought about a 5% stake in Elon Musk's Tesla. They paid $1.8 billion dollars for the shares that they bought in the open market. And this apparently will boost Elon Musk's ambition to get his mass market Model 3 electric sedan to buyers within the year.
So this is a Chinese internet company that owns WeChat. I think a lot of people know what WeChat is. A lot of people are using that. And yesterday, a fund manager told me that an investment in Tencent 10 years ago would have given you 10 times return. So very auspicious numbers, right? 10, 10, 10. But now I think the new battleground is brewing in that you're... The question is, how are you going to use your social media platform? And WeChat or Tencent wants to form this global empire with their WeChat with the WeChat users. But the next battleground is going to be self-driverless cars and online maps, digital maps and all that.
So, Jules, do you think that by Tencent buying a stake into the Tesla deal, that perhaps this could mean they want to bring this to China? They want to bring the Model 3 to China, where the market is huge for that.
Well, it is already in China.
Exactly. Right? The Chinese market is already one of the biggest for Tesla. And in fact, Elon Musk, the Tesla CEO and founder, reckons that China could be the biggest market. And they're going to do it via the Tesla Model 3. And the Model 3 has just been launched in the US. Okay, it costs $35,000. It's about the same price as the top of the range.
Is it the Tesla for the masses?
Not really. There is no such thing as Tesla for the masses.
No, they're coming out with that.
I think eventually, that's the moving
target, I think,
correct,
to come
correct.
Up with
that. But they've started with, you know, ultra premium, and I think they're slowly inching their way downwards. But the Model 3, okay, costs about $35,000 in the US, same price as the top of the range model for the BMW 3 Series and the C-Class, okay? And in 1 year, he's already taken 400,000 deposits for $1,000 each, right? Elon Musk reckons he can outsell the 3 Series and the C-Class in America in just 1 year, okay? And I think it is this ambition, and it is this moving target that has prompted Tencent to pay $1.8 billion for just 5% in Tesla.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. What synergy do you see between a messaging app company or essentially a tech company with this Tesla Model 3 car?
I don't know how much they can do with such a small stake like that, but certainly they want to glean some of those technologies. Tencent was an early backer of this thing called NIO, which is an electric car startup owned by a Chinese company. So this is a symptom of all these protected Chinese internet companies since the dawn of the era of the internet that have amassed last swathes of cash, and therefore now they have so much cash to give around. And in fact, they're doing this in the face of Chinese recent clampdown on capital flights. So I think very powerful and really spreading their wings apart from social media, beyond social media.
Well, speaking about tech companies in China, the Chinese ride-sharing giant Didi Chuxing is weighing whether to take a $6 billion investment that's backed by SoftBank Group. The question is, if they take this, it could dilute the existing backers' stakes like Apple, for instance. But if they take it, it would mean that this is the single largest funding for a Chinese tech startup.
$6 billion. I don't think any startup in the world can get money for $6 billion. And this is really a testament to the kind of pool that Masayoshi Son of SoftBank has. It's called the Vision Fund. It has a funding size of about $100 billion, and it counts among, apart from Apple, other very high-tech high pedigree, high-tech firms, and also sovereign wealth funds. So I think this is really something that is going to shake shake the world, and Apple is considering whether they want to top up to maintain their stake
that
in this company.
That is crazy. Yeah. Didi Chuxing already has $10 billion, has already raised that much money. What do they need an additional $6 billion for? I mean, we're talking about ridiculous amounts.
That's why they're giving it away.
Didi Chuxing is a company that kicked out Uber from China. And if you can kick out Uber from China, you're doing some serious things.
Mm.
Yeah. But the thing is, I think in China, the regulatory issue, the regulatory environment is very, very important, because it doesn't allow for foreign ownership of a lot of high-tech and high-growth companies. And I think one of the major components behind Uber resigning from China was because it was not allowed to do so by the Chinese government. And I think if you're an investment company like SoftBank or Apple, well, not to say that Apple's investment, but they want to make a fist of their cash hoard, you buy into proxies, and there is no other better proxy to ride hailing in China than Didi Chuxing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that the market was too hot for Uber to handle. And Didi Chuxing probably did a lot of maneuvers with the knowledge of the local Chinese market. But certainly, again, a symptom of the cash that has been amassed by all these Chinese internet companies that used to operate in a closed system called China. A lot of foreign firms that wanted to get into China had to get out. Now, these firms are on their way out, pushing their investments outwards. How is that going to sit with the rest of the world? Because you have a market that's kind of pretty close and a market that's really trying to exploit the knowledge in innovation. They're filing the highest patent filing in the world in China. But and then PBOC a few days ago saying that they want fairness, right? They want fairness for
their
companies.
Isn't that the supreme irony? Right? I mean, so obviously China, a foreigner can't get into China, really. You've got to go and get in by proxy via Hong Kong or some other indirect investment. But then China, with all its cash, is buying to businesses around the world. So
right.
It has its cake and eating it as well. And just to forget, I guess SoftBank with Masayoshi-san, because, don't forget that Japan is laboring under negative interest rates, right? If you've got cash in your books, and, SoftBank has got huge amounts of cash, primarily through debt. If they invested in Japan, in a 10-year JGB, for example, they're going
to
be paying money to keep,
money
in a 10-year bill.
How do you establish that kind of pool? This is a $100 billion funded fund. Basically, it's a fund. I mean, this guy is a fund manager and all his clients are giving him $100 billion. That's enough to take over certain small GDPs, GDPs in the world.
That is more cash in the books than Malaysia's reserves, by the way.
But I have to say that, when you talked about how China's investing, taking all this money that they have and investing in other countries, it's quite ironic that American Airlines has now decided to buy a $200 million stake in China's Southern Airlines. So now American company trying to buy into a Chinese airline.
So it's going the other way around. It's a reverse FDI, right?
Correct. But this is American Airlines buying the Hong Kong listed stock of China Southern, right? So no one can really buy direct into China.
No,
you get it via proxy, right?
Well, Tony Fernandez is making a big push into China, and he says that the market
for
travel there is just burgeoning, is in the early stages of growth. And so it's not surprising that this has caught the attention of an American airline company, which I don't know if the airline sector over there in America is doing well. I mean, Warren Buffett famously said that airline is not something that he would touch with a 10-foot pole.
Even in Reuters when I used to work, and we didn't cover airlines because it's just too much of a troubled industry, right?
Yeah, too many external factors.
Yeah.
But very quickly, let's take a look at Britain, where they have established a joint economic and trade committee to pave the way for a post-Brexit trade agreement with the Gulf states. So yesterday, the British government announced that Qatar has pledged to invest $6.3 billion in the country in areas like defence, education, healthcare, energy and financial services. And this all on the day before Article 50 of the Lisbon Treaty will be triggered.
I think it's going to cause a lot of havoc, and businesses over there in the UK are still trying to assess how to deal with this, because the EU is already making moves to tell some of the banks and some of the airline companies that if you don't move out of the UK, you would lose out on the kind of benefits, perceived benefits that the EU would give. So this Qatar investment and injection of to the tune of 6 over $6 billion into the UK is certainly a vote of confidence.
I think the UK is going to make a real fist of it now that, you know, it's kind of like the thing that, you know, whatever doesn't kill you will only make you stronger, right? So it's kind of one of those things where now the UK is going to stand on its own 2 feet, is going to make a fist of it in the international markets. And I think it can, because a lot of people don't forget that the UK is fantastic for creative industries, for manufacturing. It's got some of the best products in the world, some of the best brands in the world.
It's still a huge market as well. I mean, in terms of market capitalization.
Absolutely.
So you guys are saying that the UK will not feel the pain of this divorce?
I think they will in the short term.
Pain for long-term gain.
There are a lot of pull factors with the UK as well. But I think there is also one major black swan or one major thing that would stop them, which is Scotland, right? Scotland needs to mull whether they have...
Who needs the Scottish and their
Oh, come on. You can't say that.
I mean,
it's so important,
I'm
right?
Just being facetious. But, you know, the thing is, the Scottish economy on its own can survive, because a lot of people forget. I think the Scottish GDP is well over 200 billion.
So if they pulled out of the UK, I mean, hell would break loose.
They want to, right? They want to.
They want to hold another referendum,
that's right,
but that's still being mulled over. 7:46 right now. We'll be back with a look at the local business news, including Bank Negara forecasting March inflation exceeding an 8-year high. Stay tuned for details on that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.